Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I got to admit that this has been one of the hardest sermons to come up with. I really didn't even know how to start it. And then just the other day, I came across these particular words in the scriptures. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his love, or it could be translated mercy, or it could be translated loving kindness, endures forever. And you know, I got to be honest with you, those words certainly apply to how God has dealt with me and my life, and especially in my ministry. I remember graduating and receiving my first call, and I thought, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? Because at that point, as for most of my ministry, I've never really been convinced that this is where I'm supposed to be. God just kept on pushing me this way, and he and I are going to have a talk about that later. But that is his goodness. And you know, I have to tell you that in my years of ministry, I have been able to serve four different congregations and four completely different areas, so to speak. I mean, first one, I was very, very small town, rural. As a matter of fact, Carol Lee and I got to know the difference between what, wheat and barley and all that other kind of good stuff. I actually found out that, you know, brown cows didn't make chocolate milk because I grew up in an urban area. And then we went to St. Stephen's, Dixon City. And I guess you could say that Scranton area was, you know, mid-city size. And then from there, we went to city. I mean, I don't know how else you can describe New York City. And lo and behold, then finally we end up here in Wellsville, which I guess you could say a small town. We basically have had the opportunity God has given us to serve in each and every different kind of situation. And I've learned so much because of that. But even more so, I got to tell you, God has been so good to me in the congregations that he has given me. My first three congregations, you know, they were very loving. They were very accepting. They actually listened to me every once in a while. They never gave me a hard time. I was always concerned about myself and my wife. They would listen to God's word. They were receptive to the ministry, the word. And I'll never forget, when I accepted the call to St. Stephen's in Dixon City and then to St. John's Lutheran Church and School in Staten Island, New York, I was told outright, you are absolutely nuts. Why? Because those two parishes were known for big time conflict. They never liked any of their pastors. They were tough on their pastors. They ate their pastors apart. Do you realize that in both of those parishes, I never had a problem? They loved us. They accepted the word. Never really had any conflicts, not the big kind. Oh, sure, I'll never forget my first council meeting at St. Stephen's, where one of the council members got up and said, you know, Pastor, if I were you, I'd take the first call out of here because we're a terrible bunch of people. Oh, jeez. And nothing could have been worse. Nothing could have been further from the truth. And then at St. John's, I had one council member that whenever you had any kind of new idea, his response was, you better take a call and get out of here, okay? The first time that happened, everybody else in the council was just like, oh, they were horrified. They were calling me up. Don't take him. Well, you know, because this happened month after month after month, we all smiled and laughed because we knew what he was going to say. And, of course, then when I wasn't able to be there any longer, that particular individual saw me, and he was crying, you can't leave us. I want to say, Ed, you couldn't wait, you know. Loving. They were focused. Yeah, they had their problems. But they were wonderful congregations. And then came First Trinity Lutheran Church, Wellsville, New York. I'll never forget when Rich Shear called us up and asked us if we would be willing to come up for an interview. And the date was September the 10th, 2001. So my wife and I are driving from Staten Island. And, of course, we get up into Binghamton. We take 17 over. And we get off on 417 there, you know, by Addison and that. And then we pass Addison. And we start going, and we start going, and we start going. And you're looking around, and there's not too much here, okay? And you have to realize that we, coming from the city, okay, it looked like a whole lot more. Lots here, okay? I mean, there's nothing. And at one point, I don't know, halfway in, Carolee just turned to me and said, where are you taking me? And I happened to be thinking the same thing, and I turned to her and I said, I have no idea, because really there isn't a whole lot on 417. We came to Wellsville, came to the congregation. Very first person to greet us was Fran in the back, and we began to greet and meet other people. And you know, that night, that day, that night, and then very early the next day, you could tell that there was a true love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore a true desire to share that love with the people in this community. That came about because, not of any pastor, but because of the preaching of the gospel. And, well, things got a little balled up because we went home on September the 11th, 2001, and you all know what happened on that day. But finally we did get home. Rich called up and said, we extended the call to you, and it was like immediate, we're coming. I don't think there was even, I mean, like, you're supposed to pray about it. It was that sure. And when we moved here, December 7th, and from that day on, I have given thanks to God for each and every one of you. Almost every day. Notice. Not every day. Almost every day for the grace that God has revealed to you in Christ Jesus. In my 14 years here, I have never had a greater privilege than watching the people live under the gospel of Jesus Christ. First of all, you had to live under the gospel of Jesus Christ to put up with me. Okay. You know, ask Deb, ask my wife. You know, daily this love was expressed. Daily this love was put into motion. Daily this ideas were coming out about how in the world can we share this love of Christ, the good news of the gospel to other people. And you know, it certainly wasn't because of me. I did absolutely nothing. But God, through the gospel, moved this congregation to do things that were absolutely unbelievable. This congregation went out into this community. This congregation went out. They were helping people who really needed help. It didn't matter if they were Christian, non-Christian, members of this church or whatever. People needed help, they helped. Through the Helping Hands Fund, people who needed help received help. Over and over and over again, the love of Christ was shining through in so much of what you did. And I'm going to tell you something. The reputation of this congregation got to be to the point that you people were the only ones that were doing anything in this community. I'll never forget receiving a letter. It was from Appalachia. I think it's West Virginia. And you know how poor it is down there. And the deal was that if we could get them some clothes and curtains, they would make for us some. I'd love to have you. Isn't it wonderful, kids? That's the kingdom of God right there. You know, and they would give us wreaths. It was just addressed to a church in Wellsville. Okay? It ended up in our mailbox. And one day I went down, and this is already when Randy was postmaster. I said, Randy, I'm not complaining, but why did you give it to us? And you know what his line was? Because I figured if anybody was going to do something with it, your congregation would. I praise God for you daily because of the grace that he has revealed to you in Christ Jesus. You know the love of God. You know that God loves you so much that even though you are a poor, miserable sinners, not as bad as I am because I'm chief of sinners, but you know that he loves you so much that he gave his son to suffer and die and rise again so that simply through faith you could have forgiveness and eternal life. And there it is. There it is, the power of God unto salvation. That's where faith comes from. And that is how we as Christians continue to mature. I have never been able in my life to be able to have the pleasure of serving a congregation like this. Did I deserve it? Heavens, no. I still have not figured out why I'm even standing here to this day. You know that story. Certainly nothing I did. It was all Christ. And I thank God that I've had this opportunity. And it's going to be very difficult for us to leave. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm looking forward to retirement. But you are our family. However, I do know two other things. I gotta shut up then. Number one, as time goes on, please, please, hold on to the gospel. If anybody ever comes and preaches any other way of salvation than Jesus Christ, if anybody comes and tells you that by doing this and this and this and this, you are going to get into heaven. You know what you're supposed to do, don't you? You toss that person right out. Because the law does not save. The law shows our sin. The law does not change people, even Christians. It keeps on coming back and shows our shortcomings. It's only the gospel. The love of God through Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's what makes people Christians, because that's what the Spirit goes through. That is what helps you and I to mature as Christians, to grow as God's people, to be empowered to grow in love of others, to be empowered to go out into this community where so many don't know Christ, to share with them the love of Christ. Please hold on to the gospel. Never be shaken. Never be tempted to fall away from it. It's easy, I know. And then last thing. You're probably going to read something in the telco and you may not like it. It has to deal with the fact that according to our synod laws, etc., you know, I'm not going to be worshiping with you for a year and all these other kind of things I can't do in the activities and stuff. However, that does not mean that we cannot get together and party. This does not mean we cannot get together and golf and all those other kind of wonderful things, okay? You do not avoid us by the plague, okay? But I will tell you this. I don't want to talk about church, okay? I've had 37 years of talking about the church. Let's talk about some fun things. And finally, this is the threat that I gave to the kids. I'm going to be back to give you a hard time. Okay? Just remember that. Or maybe you'll be back to give me a hard time. I don't know. Because even if we might not see each other in this world, I know that through Jesus Christ, believe it or not, we're going to live together as one big family forever and ever and ever. And I won't get you mad. Wouldn't that be great? I thank God for you. I thank God for this time of serving you, the privilege of serving you. I sincerely repent and confess if I have ever done anything to hurt anybody or to, you know, anger somebody. I've been known to take foot A and put it into mouth B. I'm also one of those that, you know, sometimes people can misinterpret me because they may think I'm ignoring them, especially when I go into a store and I just, you know, phase and fog right over and I don't see anything. Because I want to get out, okay? I ask that you please forgive me. And we go in peace in the love of Christ. Amen.